So this morning, 2 weeks ago, I spoke out of 1 John 4, and I'm going to go there again today, and I want you to know that it's strategic and intentional, and it's not because I didn't have something else to share, but I really feel like, I don't know about you, but I didn't even get out of the building, and everything that I had spoke about was under attack, and fear was trying to, it was like Jesus in the parable about the ground, and I know it's about salvation and things like that, but it was almost like the enemy was trying to steal the seed of what God had given me to speak so that it couldn't actually take root, so that it couldn't actually get deep inside, take root, and then begin to produce fruit. And so this morning, I'm going to strategically read this again because honestly, I don't know how else to get something to take root other than being exposed to it over and over and over, right? So, and I may go into Colossians, I don't know, that's where I was again, but I'm going to start in 1 John again, and I'm probably just going to read this, I don't know, we'll just see what God does. But I want it to be intentional because I want this to really take root deep inside of me so that when things come against me and when things come against love and fear comes against love, then it will be so rooted in me that love is what will consume everything instead of everything consuming me. And everything else consuming love, that love would be rooted. And my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. And the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. And this is how God showed his love for us, that God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he's in us. Here's the fruit. Here's the fruit. Here's how we know, right? This is the evidence that we are living deeply in God and he is living deeply in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. And everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it, heart and soul, this love that comes from God. So God is love. And here is the meat of it, I think, and just what really needs to take root inside of us. God is love. So when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. It becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. And I'm telling you, I didn't even get outside. And it was like everything that I had spoke was just under attack. And I was like, I'm trying to let love be bigger, Dad. I'm trying to let love be bigger, but it doesn't feel bigger right now. It doesn't feel very big right now. And so this is what I desire to just not only be over this house, in this house rooted in this, my house, the body of Eastgate, and then just the body of Christ itself, that we would be so rooted in this, that because this, when love is bigger and when love is rooted and it resides, then fear cannot move us. Fear, you know, it causes us to either isolate ourselves, it paralyzes us, the Bible says. So then we can't do anything. Then we can't do anything. And so if you remember the story of David and Goliath, you know, as Goliath was shouting out over the children of Israel, the more they listened, the more he shouted, the stronger their fear became. If you read it, there's like stages to the fear because they listened to the enemy. And they couldn't, it became paralyzing to them. And the thing that David did when he came in is he didn't listen. He didn't give his ear to the enemy. And in fact, he took what the enemy was saying, and he heard what the enemy was saying, but it didn't line up with who he knew God to be. And it was like something rose up within him where Goliath was saying this, and David is saying, How dare you defile the armies of God? How dare you defile his children? Right? The children of Israel gave their ear, and fear overtook them. Fear overwhelmed them, it even says. Fear caused them to not be able to move into what God had for them and who and what God was actually wanting to do in them and through them. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. And I talked a couple weeks ago about when fear comes, if we can allow it, it can just expose the areas in us where we're not fully formed in love. And I was just like, okay, God, where am I not fully formed? Where am I not fully formed? And why is this fear? Why is this trying? And right, obviously, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. That's what he desires to do. That's what he's always doing. And so if he can come and even just steal, steal the word of God before it has a chance to actually and just really penetrate and go deep and get rooted before it can bear fruit. We, though, are going to love. We're going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. This is who we are. First, we loved, now we love. He loved us first. And this is just, it's just my heart's desire, is that love will be bigger. Is that love will be bigger, and it will be stronger, and it will be more rooted, that everything is rooted in that. That everything is rooted in love. Because the fruitfulness of love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Like all of the things that we desire to achieve in our walk with Christ, it cannot be rooted in anything other than love. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot attain the fruits of the Spirit. If we could, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. If we could attain those things in and of ourselves, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. We wouldn't have needed him to come and do what he did. And I feel like sometimes we're trying to attain the gifts of the Spirit in our own flesh, and the gifts of the Spirit are just that, they're gifts. I can't attain something that's given to me freely. And it's only found and rooted in Christ. It's only found and rooted in love. So God is love. We take up. I feel like we need to just read this over and over and over and over. 1 John 4:17 and 18 in the Message. And I don't know if we just need to get this on the wall. I just feel like we need to be reminded of this continually. Like continually, so that even if the enemy would try to swoop in and like grab it for a second, or that we would just be so reminded of it, that we would be so reminded of it, that it would just, that we'd be like, oh yeah, right, yes, this is right. Like God is love. And when we take up, and this is the truth, when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. Like, that's a promise. If we take up permanent residence in love, we live in God and God lives in us. So how do we stay in relationship? How do we stay in Christ? We allow the love of God to take up permanent residence. That's what it says. We take up permanent residence in a life of love, then we live in God and God lives in us. This way, taking up permanent residence, this way, love has the run of the house. We must take up permanent residence in love for love to have the run of the house. If we do not take up permanent residence, then other things will have a run of the house. This way, love has the run of the house. It becomes at home. Love just gets cozy with us then. If we take up permanent residence in love, love takes up permanent residence in us, and it makes its home. It's not just a house. There's a difference between a house and a home. Now, my house is, since Chubby has been turning into a home, I used to like things very clean, it almost looked like nobody really lived there. And now it looks like, well, a bulldog lives there, and he's everywhere. And no matter how much I clean, his hair just reappears everywhere. And he's dirty, and he makes my house dirty. And I tell him all the time, you're dirty, and you make my house dirty, but I love you. What I'm trying to say is sometimes a house that's lived in, right? A house that's lived in may not look as neat and orderly. I mean, a home as a house, but a home is lived in. A home, I used to love when my nieces and nephews would come over at Christmas and we'd go out sledding and they would come over and they just throw all their boots and coats all right in the middle of the floor. And, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like, I'm sure after a while, if it happened every day, that would get annoying. But I'm just trying to say, like, love wants to make its home in us. It wants to leave its stuff all over. It doesn't want to be contained in one room, or it doesn't want to just be look pretty or be on a shelf, but love wants to make its home in us. It wants to make its residence in us, and if we allow it, it will have the run of the house and it will mature us. All the things that we've wanted to see in our lives, all the things that the growth that we've wanted to see in our individual lives and in the lives of our family, this says if we allow love, it will mature us. It will do the things that we've been striving to do. it will just begin to do it. And you'll look back and, whoa, I didn't even realize, you know, I was living like that. Wow. For years I struggled. This way, love has the run of the house, and it becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day, and our standing in the world is identical with Christ. And I just, this next part, I just want this to, in my, maybe this is just from, I don't know, but I just desire for myself and this house and my family and your families and in this region that there is no room in love for fear. And I desire that well-formed love would banish fear. It says that it does. Well-formed love banishes fear. And to banish something, right? To banish something means to, like, you can no longer, like, right? When you were banished back in the day, right? Like, when I think of that, like, they were banished and they had to go outside. Let's say there was a perimeter or a boundary, and they had to go outside of that, and they were no longer able to come into that place. And so that's what love is, the boundary. Love is the border. Love is what really will protect us. Love is what will banish fear, and love is what will say, you are no longer welcome in my realm. In my sphere, you are no longer welcome in here. All of the other things that we have thought to, that we have built and that we have erected to protect us, if it is not love, I would say it is inviting fear and not banishing fear. Huh. Anything that we have erected in and of ourselves to protect us, if it is not love, I would say that it's inviting fear and not banishing it. And we have been convinced otherwise. Huh. Thank you, Daddy. That was all him. Like, that was all him. Ha. Huh. So, Daddy, any place right now in the name of Jesus where we have erected self-preservation and walls and things to protect us, God, that we have thought have been protecting us and keeping us safe, if it is not rooted in love, God, I ask now in the name of Jesus, in my life, in the lives of those here, in the lives of our family, in the lives of the people in this city, God, I ask that love, that those things would just be exposed, because, Daddy, we desire to banish fear. And we desire for love to be well-formed in us. And we thank you that your love and your love in us, through us, for us, has no room for fear. And it banishes it. It takes it one step further. Not only does it not make room for fear, it banishes fear from influencing us. We love you and we thank you. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear, and here is why. Here is why we need love to be fully formed in us. Because, and here is why, right? Here is why love makes no room for fear. Because fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not fully formed in fear. If we're walking in fear, we are not fully walking in who God has called us to be. We're not fully walking in who He says that we are. And we're not fully walking and fully formed yet in love. But we are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first.
Colossians 1. Our prayers for you are always spilling over into thanksgiving. We can't quit thanking God our Father and Jesus our Messiah for you. We keep getting reports on your steady faith in Christ, our Jesus, and the love you continuously extend to all Christians. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack. Tightly tied are as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. So Paul is encouraging the Colossians, and he's saying, I'm giving thanks for you, for I've heard about your faith in Christ and how you love continuously, and the lines of purpose in your lives, they never grow slack. They're tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. Paul is encouraging them, and he's saying that I'm excited for how you've withstood. The message is as true among you today as when you first heard it. And when I was listening to this last night, I was thinking of us, and I was thinking of, I really believe that this house, its mandate is love. And I also, when I was listening to this, I was thinking of our body and just how I really want to encourage you guys that I believe that Paul could write some of this to us this morning. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack, tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. The message is as true among you today as when you first heard it. It doesn't diminish or weaken over time. It's the same all over the world. The message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger, just as it has in you. From the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you've been hungry for more. That's my desire as well, that we would be hungry for more. And when love is fully formed in us and there is no fear, we can hunger for more and not be afraid of disappointment and not be afraid of hungering for more and then being left empty. Because sometimes I think that we don't hunger for more for fear of being disappointed. Because we hungered once and we were left wanting, maybe in our own, you know what I mean? Like we hungered and we thirsted and maybe it didn't quite, you know, like how we thought we were going to be fed, and it wasn't quite what we thought it was going to be. It didn't look quite. And so, right, like, I'm a little afraid again. I'm a little leery of stepping out again. It's as vigorous in you now as when you learned it from our friend and close associate. He is the one reliable worker for Christ. I could always depend on him. He's the one who told us how thoroughly love has been worked into your lives by the Spirit. He's the one who told us how thoroughly love had been worked into your lives by the Spirit. I'm just going to read through this quick. Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Now, I want to focus on this here for a second, because Paul says, if you just look at it, it could come across as all just works, works, works. But he says, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. Even in Paul addressing the church, he's saying that I desire that you fulfill the work of Christ. But he's saying, but not the self-striving, gritting your teeth. I'm just going to grin and bear it because it's just always this way. It's always, you know, but he's saying, but the glory strength that God gives, it's a strength that endures the unendurable, and it spills over into joy. Staying after it. If we're doing it in our own strength and in and of ourselves, after a while, it will begin to wear on us, and it will begin to cause us to become bitter and resentful, and we'll want to quit, and we'll just want to not do it anymore. But if we're allowing love to be fully formed in us, and we allow the glory strength God gives, it's the strength that endures the unendurable. And it goes even a little step further, and it says that it spills over into joy. Thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. There is a strength in God that gives us the ability to endure the unendurable, and yet takes it another step further, that there would be joy that comes from this crazy place where everything around you should not be joyful about. But God, right? But God. How do you have joy right now? I don't know. I shouldn't. But God, that is the reason that I have joy in the midst of this thing right here, right now. Love fully formed. This is why it's so important that we allow love to be matured in us. It's what will get us from glory to glory. And if it weren't true, the enemy wouldn't be attacking it so. I don't know much, but I do know that His love, it says that it conquers. Maybe it says covers, but I like conquers. A multitude of sin. If we want sin conquered, we have to let love run wild. If we want sin conquered in our own life, in the lives of our families, in the lives of the people in our city, in our region, love has to run wild. And sometimes that is a scary thing. Because, see, I can't control something that runs wild. You ever see those horses that get bust free and you just got to hold on and hope to God you don't fall off? I was on a pony once. I was little. That felt like crazy. Like, my sister, she was so little. We were out in the country and so little, she didn't have a shirt on. And she come in the house just crying. Blue Moon, our pony, decided that she wanted to come back home. And so she took off running and just ran right through the electric fence and took my sister with her. And she had like this, yeah, anyway, I don't know why I shared. Can we let love run wild and just hold on? And let love, right? Just let it do what it does. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. So, Daddy, I just thank you for this morning. And Daddy, I thank you for your heart after us. And I just ask, Daddy, that you would put a hedge of protection around, God, what it is that you're speaking to us in this moment, that it would just go so incredibly deep, that it would be so rooted in each and every one of us, God, that it would be so rooted, and that it, you would just sprinkle it with you, and that it would just immediately begin to just bear fruit, God, that it would just begin to take its home and residence in us. And God, I just invite you and invite your spirit and invite love to make this place, these four walls, God, but also the people in this place, God, that we would allow you to take residence and allow your love to take residence in us. That we would allow love to be our protection, that we would allow love to be our boundary, that we would allow love to banish all fear, and that we would allow love to not make room for anything else but love. And that everything else would be consumed by love. God, I just ask that you would just continue to form us in love. That we could love each other, that we could love your people, that we could love those that have not been awakened yet to who you are, that we could love our city, that we could love our city so much that we could even banish fear from our city. Let it take root. Let us walk in it. Let us roll around in it. Let us live in it, God. Let us live in that place. We love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.